We are KBOO.FM because World War III is a really bad idea.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Welcome to the What Really Happened Radio Show. Because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. Pat Robertson's been out there making the rounds on the media, screaming that America belongs to Jesus. And saying that, you know, Christians came over to the United States and they made it Christian with a prayer. And it's been handed off and passed down and it belongs to Jesus. And I have a text message here from Jesus. And he says, it does not. You're not blaming me for this mess. The government messed it up. The government's going to fix it or not. I have nothing to do with this thing. So, Pat, kindly stop wasting our time. Story just came in a little bit more serious. Apparently, there has been a fatal car accident in Brooklyn. 47-year-old woman, mother of five, was crossing the street, was struck and killed by an on-duty Secret Service agent who apparently responded to the action by standing there as this woman bled to death on the road saying, I'm on the job. I'm on the job. I'm on the, like, you can't arrest me because I, you know. So this is going to be a little bit tougher to get out of than the unpaid hooker story here. So the Secret Service makes me nervous. I think the Secret Service has now killed more Americans than terrorists have in the last 10 years. I'm not sure about that, but I think that's true. All righty, let's see. Let's start grabbing phone calls. Amanda in North Carolina. Aloha, Amanda. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing there?
First off, I wanted to say thank you very much because you inspired me to actually start up my own little internet radio show. So I wanted to say thank you for that. I get a lot of my news actually from whatreallyhappened.com. Of course, double checking with multiple places, but I'm going back to Hollywood real quick.
Good advice here.
I'm sorry?
Yes. I said that's always good advice.
But going back to Hollywood, maybe Hollywood's only actually making money on those comic book things because maybe America thinks that, maybe we do need a Justice League.
Well, that's an interesting way of putting it. And I know that, you know, as was the case in the last Great Depression, we're in the Grand Depression now. But during the Great Depression, you know, movies were escapism and you had Busby Berkeley and wouldn't it be nice to live these exalted lifestyles? And wouldn't it be great to have heroes who'd come and fix things? But on the other hand, it convinces people to kind of sit on their butt and wait for a costumed superhero to come make the world a better place. And that is the biggest of the big lies the media will give us. Because we're all raised to think that all of our problems will be solved in 30 or 60 minutes, less time for commercials, or in the movie house between an hour and a half and 2 hours, and somebody will come and save us. The cavalry will come over the hill, the Messiah will arrive, the genie will pop out of the bottle, you know, James Bond will show up and save us, or Batman will come in, and that's just absolutely a fraud. If we want a better world, we're going to have to make it happen. Nobody's coming to save us, you know, there's no divine intervention. We're going to have to fix this mess or not.
Yes. And I also wanted to point out real quick before I let you go is that if one thing that the Ron Paul and the Occupy movement have actually done in concert together without even knowing it is that we can actually come together and effect a change. Obviously, voter fraud has been going on with the Ron Paul campaign over and over again, but he's still taking the delegates.
Yes, he is. And that's something that they can't rig because the delegate votes are handled in public, in full view of everybody, which is the way the caucuses and primaries are supposed to be. So, they succeeded in hijacking the vote with the electronic machines and secret counting locations, but they can't hijack the delegate selection, and Ron Paul was very smart to do this. I think the best thing that Ron Paul and the Occupy movement have done and continue to do is to make open discussion of this government having failed and needing to be replaced socially acceptable. And I think that's the most important thing that they have done. And again, if we get out that message, we're not going to pay for Wall Street's crimes any longer, then those foreign investors who thought they were going to ride Wall Street's coattails to wealth and riches are going to have second thoughts and yank their money. We got to take a break here. Amanda, thank you for the call. Good luck on your radio show. We'll be right back after these words from our sponsors.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Working two jobs ends never seem to me. She often goes hungry so her babies can't eat. Fatherless son wears torn clothes to school. We're making fun of him's the only golden rule. She doesn't know she's a favorite daughter. If someone wants to help her walk on water, we've destroyed her faith, treated her with scorn, and made her long regret the day she was ever born.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And I'm watching CNN, and they're back to the girl who got stiffed by financially cheated. I should use that word, cheated, by the Secret Service. And, of course, they got the shot of her in her little hot little bikini. So that's what they're luring you in with, because they don't want to talk about the other stuff that's going on here right now. All righty, let's see. We have another caller on the line, Ben in Nebraska. Aloha, Ben. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi.
Aloha, Ben. There you are.
Hi. I basically have a challenge, 31-day challenge, that I am going to do with my Occupy group. Because lately, now that our camps are gone, tomorrow we are going to have a meeting about the future of our Occupy. And there I'm going to issue a 31-day challenge. Because I know a lot of these Occupy groups around the country are dealing with infighting and internal conflicts and just bad stuff. And so,
well, mostly from the infiltrators that are being sent in there to cause exactly that kind of discord. I remember, you know, Occupy is supposed to be a leaderless resistance, mm-hmm. in order to prevent having figureheads that can be attacked and compromised, by the dictatorship.
Sure, I agree. But
so, what's your challenge?
My challenge is for 31 days. Members of Occupy will not raise their voices at one another in anger, call each other names, post negative stuff about each other on Facebook, humiliate or degrade each other in front of one another, or just play the blame game at each other without evidence. And basically, if the members of my own Occupy can do that, I will allow them to video me and put me on YouTube, choking down a plate of asparagus, a food I absolutely loathe and despise. I will have as many people as can fit in this house where the meeting is being held to videotape me and or take photos of me. They can put it on their Facebook pages. And I am basically issuing this challenge for other Occupies.
Well, that's a very, very good challenge. I mean, I take issue with your not liking asparagus. I actually like it. I'm not allowed to have it in abundance because of age and medical issues and stuff like that, but I do love it. But to get to a more serious situation, you're absolutely correct. Remember, Wall Street and the U.S. government are absolutely terrified of the Occupy movement. They want to keep them divided and fighting each other, because the worst nightmare for Washington, D.C. is the American people all of a sudden realizing they are one American people, young, old, male, female, gay, straight, black, white, brown, peach, taupe, and mauve. And they're trying to basically fragment it. That's why on this May Day protest, you had all these people showing up with signs saying, commie this, and they had the people, gay rights in there. They're trying to just throw in this melange so the media can say, well, these people don't know what they want, in order to basically dismiss the situation. So you're absolutely right. The Occupy movement needs to basically agree right now not to allow divisions within their ranks. And what that means is the people trying to cause the divisions become instantly identifiable. And you know they are the hired public relations operatives, the undercover FBI informants, all of these agent provocateurs, which we already know are being sent into the Occupy movement to try and disrupt them so that the money junkies can go on looting the nation that much longer. So I agree with your challenge. I'm not sure the asparagus thing is going to be a strong motivator, but I agree with the challenge, and we definitely need to get it out there. So thanks a lot for the phone call, and we're going to move along here. The phone lines are filling up here. Rick in Michigan, aloha. Rick, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
Okay. Hi, I just called in to talk about the Ron Paul campaign a little bit. This whole thing is a circus. This is theater. we know we can't win. They've already, the fix is in on this thing. Romney is going to win this Republican nomination. We can be happy about the delegates, and yes, they are going to infiltrate the Republican Party, and the Republicans already know this. They've seen this coming for a long time. And
well, I don't think we should use the word infiltrate. I take issue with the word infiltrate because these people who are the delegates for Ron Paul, they are Republicans. They have every right to be there. And if
yeah,
we use words like infiltrate
that.
And subvert, then we're justifying the media's attempts to portray them as somehow outsiders who ought not to be there. And that's absolutely not true. Now, as far as Ron Paul winning, I agree with you. I don't think it's going to happen. If push comes to shove, they'll shoot him out of the nomination the way they did Robert Kennedy. But the good that Ron Paul and his campaign has done is to make the vote fraud so obvious that all of America sees it right now. We have another coffee mug we sell around here. The fastest way to bring down a dictatorship is to force it to act like one where everybody can see it, and that is what the Ron Paul campaign has succeeded in doing.
Oh, I know. I have signed up to be a delegate, and I went to the county convention last night. I agree with this philosophy, but it's not going to work this year. And what I am saying, and I'm trying to wake people up to the fact that this year is important. This is it. We cannot allow this man to go into history as the one who changed the Republican Party. This ain't what a revolution is all about. They've drawn people in with the verbiage. I was part of this campaign. I was ostracized and literally kicked out of Michigan because of my objection to not fighting about the vote fraud. They told us to be quiet. I mean, they
I'm afraid, Rick, actually they were right, and for a very, very good reason. The reality is we know the vote fraud is there, but the instant had Ron Paul gone down that road, the corporate media, which owns the voters' news service, would have immediately jumped on that and said he's just being a sore loser. He can't stand the fact that the American people don't love him. That was a battle he could not win. And so he played this thing very, very smart. And I'm sorry, but as a matter of fact, the rest of the Ron Paul campaign was right. They couldn't go fight that vote fraud. That would have been the end of the campaign right there. The media would have chewed him up and spit him out. But he maintained that high ground, and he let the alternative media, people like me and like you, talk about the vote fraud issue to keep it out there. And now everybody has seen it. And, you know, and they're going to go to the convention. They're going to block Romney from having a first ballot victory unless the Republicans change the rules and start kicking out the Ron Paul delegates just because they don't like him. And again, if they do that, all they're going to succeed in doing is alienating the Republican voters and hand the government back to the Democrats again for another term. So, you know, I agree with Ron Paul not going into the vote fraud issue because it would have destroyed him, would have allowed the corporate media to destroy him much more thoroughly, much more early in the campaign. They played it very, very smart, given all the forces stacked against Ron Paul. Israel doesn't want him in the government. The Federal Reserve hates his guts. Wall Street hates him. The defense establishment hates him. With all and the corporate media, as obeisant as ever, was out there to say, oh, we're going to pretend he's not even a candidate. And with all of those things aligned against him, look where he is right now. He's the only other candidate besides Romney to get to the convention. He has played it absolutely perfectly, and I don't think we need to criticize him for what has gotten him this far. And so they're going to go in there, and again, the GOP is going to do everything that they can to prevent him from winning the nomination, and by doing so, and by being seen to do so, they're going to destroy themselves. Anyway, we're going to thank you very much for the call. We're going to go into Gary in Illinois. Aloha, Gary. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yes, aloha, Mike. You mentioned a little bit earlier today about the possibility or that Obama might try to pull a switcheroo of sorts by throwing the TSA under the bus in time for the election so that he would look like he is actually listening to the concerns of the people. And I just want to bring up another phenomenon, too, which I remember very distinctly from 2008 when gas prices fell from 4.25 a gallon in the Chicago area, that's what they wound up getting up to, down to less than $2 a gallon within the space of about 3 to 4 months. Right around the time of the election, and of course it went back up after the inauguration. And my question is: do you foresee that we could see a similar fall in gas prices that would mirror what happened 4 years ago.
Absolutely. We're already noticing it here in Hawaii. Gas prices are going down, and that is not normal for this time of year because normally, being a tourist destination, gas prices go up during the summer just because people are driving more to go to the beaches and go to events, and it's normal for gas prices to go up ahead of that summer crunch. We're seeing gas prices go down. All Obama has to do is start releasing more of the strategic petroleum reserves into general consumer demand, and the oversupply will drive the prices down. And, yes, he's going to do everything he can to try and make the country look like it's on a good track between now and November. I don't think he can sustain it. I think he's going to come up short the way George W. Bush did, where Bush was just trying to keep the economy looking good until after the election, and it fell apart in October, the month ahead of time, and I think that's going to happen again.
Yeah, I do too. And I was just curious because I kind of got onto that trick because it was very mysterious how those prices skyrocketed the way they did, and then how quickly they fell down.
Oh yeah, food prices will come down. They're going to do everything that they can. We can even expect the Federal Reserve to just print up a ton of cash and dump it into the consumer market to try and get the economy looking like it's good for November. But it's really not going to work, especially if Europe implodes.
Yes, I agree. Okay, well, thanks a lot, and enjoy the show.
All right, well, thanks an awful lot, and thank you for calling into the show. We're coming to the end of the segment. We're going to take a break for some commercials. We have other phone calls to get to as soon as we get back following these words from our sponsors. We've got more stories on global warming and some very bizarre pronouncements coming from the United Nations and the U.S. government. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Wall Street Wizards on the land, from a mental institution, claim private retirement funds, yeah, they are the best solution. But when the markets crash, we'll be asking where's the cash. Guess them folks in D.C. must be smoking Texas hash. Will Congress pay the pass?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And again, looking at CNN, they've run the story about cellulite cure again. They've degenerated to the point of a supermarket tabloid. They really, really have. All right, we're going to go back to the phones here. George in Hawaii, aloha, Nui 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 Nui. What's on your mind?
Aloha, Mike. I'm so happy that I found you. I used to listen to you on another station. I found you on the Internet again, and I'm so glad that I did. I live in Hawaii Kai, by the way. The reason I'm calling, and aloha no, bro. Aloha no. The reason I'm calling is I'm driving down the street in Hawaii Kai, beautiful little area, you know, no big problems out here. And I see a car called Homeland Security with a police officer in it with a stripe on it, and it says police. And so I see this guy for about 2 or 3 months, and he doesn't do anything. He doesn't stop anybody. He's not patrolling a beat. He's got, I don't know who he is. So I see a couple of cop friends that I know having donuts at the Chevron. And I ask them, I say, hey, who is this guy? And what's he doing on your beat? And they have no idea. They have no idea, Mike. This guy's carrying a gun. He's got a car, an SUV with Homeland Security on it. And I don't know what his jurisdiction is. I don't know what he's doing in my neighborhood or why he's out here. There's nothing of any national significance out here.
Well, and, no, he's there to remind you. He's there to remind you that you're being watched and you'd better behave. Or Homeland Security will come and get you and put you up against the wall. Schweinhund.
You know what's incredible is the local cops who have the jurisdiction that we have given them, you and I have given them as members of the city and county. They have all the jurisdiction. They don't even know who this guy is. I ask him, I say, do you sit down and have coffee with him? Nope. Do you guys ever exchange information? Nope. Are you in the same radio frequencies? Nope. Does he ever come to your cases when you're called? Nope. I have no idea. And I asked him, I said, well, why don't you find out who he is? This is your beat. And the cop tells me, straight up, We don't know. They're the feds. They're just the feds. And that's the way the conversation ended. And I was so, so insulted.
No, I've heard that from a lot of people because we've been having a lot of crime issues in our immediate neighborhood. And we even had the United States Secret Service out here talking about a criminal fraud. And thank goodness they didn't know who they were talking to when they talked to me. But, I could throw in a crude joke there about they're not paying me for my time, but I'm not going to do that. When we talk to the local police about it's jurisdiction, and anytime they come up against the federal, they said that's the federal government has jurisdiction, we're not allowed to do anything. And I think the reason this Homeland Security van is, I mean, it's obviously it's an SUV and it says Homeland Security. He wants to be seen. I think that's his entire job, to be out there and be visible to remind everybody they'd better behave, you know, or the Homeland Security gremlin is going to come get them.
And you know what amazes me, Mike, of all that's going on in this super surveillance, the local cops who have the jurisdiction, who have the authority on the beat, they got 10,000 people on their beat. Their job is to provide safety and health for those people, but they don't even know that there's another armed guy on their beat that is running around pretending to be a cop. And I'd like to know who these guys are and why are they here.
I think they're there just as a display. They're part of this bluff everything that you do, so you'd better behave.
I don't feel intimidated. It's theater, is what it is. Hooked up
okay?
with this guy. I'd like to find out who he was and who he is,
I'll ask around here, local neighborhood. I've got a couple of people who are sort of on the inside and sharing information, but I'm almost willing to bet you a whole plugged Turkish piaster at this point that he's just there to be seen as part of the propaganda. You will behave. We are watching you, from every corner, from every telephone pole, from every TV camera. We're watching you. You'd better do as we say.
Oh, I think it's
a gigantic bluff.
Well, let me just say, Mike, I'm happy to have found you. I was on the other channel for a bit listening to a blowhard on...
We don't do names.
Another blowhard, and those guys are missing it. I think you're hitting it pretty close. I think you're right on the money. Good luck to you.
Well, thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very, very much. Aloha. And, I'll look into that situation. Switching over to Greg in Michigan. Aloha, Greg. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, aloha there, Michael. And I wanted to say I usually agree with you just about most of the time. But on this Ron Paul thing, I have a little bit of an exception to it. Because, first of all, Michigan is one of the places where the campaign originally became infiltrated, so to speak, and where a lot of this broke out in 2007. But in terms of the vote fraud net, I think Ron Paul could have done a world of good by fighting this the right way. I mean, after all, we all gave him our contributions to fight this type of thing, too, within the campaign. And I think what would have been the best and would have got him the most publicity is taking his team of attorneys that he pays with a retainer and taking this cases into court like they did in Ohio and shown that there was some type of...
But when they went... Listen, you just said it yourself. When they went into Ohio and proved there was vote fraud, did it reverse the outcome of the election? No. It was a fool's errand from day one. Thank you for the call. We got to take a break for commercials. Thank you very much. We'll be right back.
Blind eyes they will not see. They'll jail themselves and call the bars Homeland Security.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And, of course, the corporate media is still trying to play Wag the Dead Guy with Osama bin Laden, who we know because it was reported in all of the foreign press at the time, and even Fox News once, until they thought better of it. The real Osama bin Laden died in December of 2001 of natural causes. In fact, he was deathly ill in July of that year when the CIA visited in the American hospital in Riyadh. And I guess that's where they made this deal saying, Osama, buddy, are we going to make you famous? And so President Obama is trying to wag the dead guy as a campaign banner, again, because he doesn't have a heck of a lot of anything else to run on. He's going to be running on, I'm the president who got the villain of the century. except, of course, they got some other guy, realized the mistake, dumped the body in the ocean. So now they're trying to sort of raise on a busted flush with all of these documents. They're coming, oh, yes, these are bin Laden's papers because they were found in that house. Honest, really, and it's just taken all this time for the last year, you know, for us just to sort of clean and collate them. It's not like we're forging or faking anything. Why would we do that? Just because you caught us with a bunch of fake photos about the dead body. There's no reason to presume that we're lying about the documents. It's really bizarre. They're trying to puff up this guy, Adam Gadahn, as the new spokes figure for Al-Qaeda. Now, Adam Gadahn is a fake, and it's already known he's a fake. His real name is Adam Perlman. He's the grandson of a member of the board of directors of the ADL. And he's like all these other fake Al-Qaeda that's running around. Yusuf Al-Khattab, who used to run the Revolution Muslim website out of Brooklyn. And his real name is Joseph Cohen. It goes on and on and on. Now, a lot of this latest document dump is actually stuff that's been floating around the net for years. It's not newly discovered. It's just a regurgitation, and that's the appropriate word to use, of a bunch of old propaganda. But somebody pointed out something very, very funny. Adam Gadahn supposedly wrote this letter recommending American media personnel who would be sympathetic to the Al-Qaeda cause. And for some reason on the list was Jerry Van Dyke, Dick Van Dyke's brother. And we all know Dick Van Dyke's a fabulous star, and I've loved him in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang and Mary Poppins, and he's just a wonderful guy. Jerry Van Dyke, I think his primary claim to fame was star of the TV series My Mother the Car. So I'm not exactly sure why he's on the list by Adam Gadahn, but it sort of underscores that this stuff is, it's just nonsensical. They just threw together a bunch of stuff to try and make it look like they've got documentary evidence that, yes, by golly, that really was Osama bin Laden, who was killed a year ago. And nobody's buying it. Apparently, they're not getting traction with it. It is a dud. And it is a reminder that trust will arrive on foot but depart on horseback. You can spend 100 years, whether you're in the government or the media, you can spend a century earning the trust of your population, and with one lie, it's going to be gone. And, of course, the lie that we know triggered this crisis of confidence was Saddam's nuclear weapons. And if the U.S. government finds itself with a credibility problem, it's not the fault of the alternative media and the internet and the bloggers. They destroyed themselves. And maybe they just, the fault was that they grew up in a time, or they became the government at a time when they could lie and get away with it. But it's a whole new world. The internet and the alternative media, especially the internet, have fundamentally changed the very structure of the way information flows through society. It is as dramatic a transformation as when Gutenberg came up with rediscovered movable type printing. And books became affordable to ordinary people. And it just changed the way information flowed through the society. And the power structures at the time of Gutenberg tried exactly to control it the same way our government's trying to control the internet. Regulations, restrictions, book burnings. The very first man to do an English translation of the Bible was burned at the stake along with his translation. It's all about maintaining control. Rulers do not like educated populations. They prefer them brainwashed and indoctrinated, forced to believe in certain things that will control their behavior, and it just doesn't work anymore. All righty, let's see. The phone lines are currently open, 800-313-9443, and before they start calling in again, I don't want to have any more callers coming in saying that Ron Paul would have been better off going after the vote fraud issue. No. And at the time, people were starting to raise the issue early in the campaign. I said, no, Ron Paul's doing the right thing. Because remember, the king of the vote fraud, the king of the election riggers, Voters News Service, is owned by the corporate media. They will never, ever say anything bad about it. They will attack anybody who challenges the fundamental belief that elections are honest in this country. Look how absurd they got. In any other nation on earth, if the exit polls don't match the official results, the first thing they scream is, oh, it's vote fraud. That's the reason for exit polling, as a check on the actual election to make sure it's honest. But here in the United States of America, remember Hillary Clinton's surprise come-from-behind victory in New Hampshire in 2008? And what did the news say? Well, we suspect there might have been vote fraud. Heck no. That's our vote riggers you're talking about. We can't criticize them. They came up with this thing. Oh, well, the voters were lying to the exit pollers. Really? Why? It's not like they know the exit pollers. They're not asked to give their names. It's an absurd explanation, but that's what they tried to sell you. So the reality is, and as this, as I mentioned to this last caller, look at all the times they went in with the courts and the police, and they said, yeah, there was massive vote fraud. What would the media say? But it doesn't change the final outcome. Yes, there was massive election fraud, but it doesn't change the outcome. Which, if you think about it, is an absolutely unsupportable statement. Because if you have found some vote fraud, you cannot conclude that you found all the vote fraud there is to find. You found one stolen vote, maybe there were 20 that you have not yet discovered. And so once vote fraud is established, you can't make the statement in all honesty that it doesn't change the outcome. That is simply what they are selling you. And they would do it again this year. So it would have been a fool's errand for Ron Paul to try and go after the vote riggers. And instead, he stayed focused on the high ground. He lets the vote fraud issue be handled by the alternative media, because that's what we're here for. And he stayed on the high ground, and look at where he is. He has beat every other candidate to the convention except for Mitt Romney. And according to the delegate counts, he's in a dead heat. And we're hearing more and more that, in point of fact, these delegates that are pledged to Romney are not actually bound to vote for him. So it's going to be a very, very interesting convention here. All right, so we're going to move on. No more talk about Ron Paul. I wish him luck. We're going to be following with interest the road from here to Tampa, but we have other things we got to talk about before the end of the show today. It is snowing in northern Sweden, officially the first part of summer up there. And they're issuing avalanche warnings as heavy snow is expected in Jämtland. I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly. Gavelborg and Dalarna. So gosh darn that global warming. Now, interestingly enough, all of a sudden, population is becoming a big issue for the United States and for the United Nations. In fact, the American representative to the UN is calling for worldwide depopulation. Okay? Roger Dittman, emeritus professor of physics at California State University, believes that Agenda 21 policies should be implemented in the United States immediately. And he's calling for worldwide depopulation. Well, I am calling on the American representative to the United Nations to lead by example and leap off the top of that there building. I will grant you there's a population problem because sex is a lot more fun than dying. But the problem I have with everybody who's calling for depopulation is they want somebody else to die or to go without children. And we know that this call for depopulation isn't about quality of life for the world's population, but about resource control. Back when Nixon was in office, Dr. Henry Kissinger came up with this thing called National Security Study 200, which said that increasing population in the third world was a strategic threat to the United States of America because those indigenous populations had this bad habit of using up those natural resources that American corporations coveted. And so covert depopulation of the third world became American policy under the Nixon administration. It was basically shut down, we are told, during the Ford administration and never reactivated, but we don't know about that. And now we hear about this Gardasil vaccine has polysorbate 80 among its ingredients, which when injected intravenously interferes with reproductive systems. And we know that in a lot of parts of the world, birth rates are declining, and everybody says, we have no idea. Now, getting back to ClimateGate and more of these environmental lies that we are being thrown on, the former hero of the German environmental movement has come under criticism by basically saying the IPCC has been lying about natural changes in the climate in the past thousands of years. And we've commented on this show many, many times, where the IPCC basically tried to pretend that the Roman and medieval warming periods never happened. They actually had hired people that went out onto Wikipedia to edit all of the entries about past climate history to try and trivialize and downplay the medieval warming period to say, oh, it wasn't all that warm. Nothing really happened, you know, because both during the Roman and medieval warming periods, coincided with the greatest flowering of civilization and art and science. Why? Because food was abundant. And when food is abundant, you don't have to listen to some dictator who's got the keys to the corn crib. It's just sprouting out all around your home. You can walk out, grab all the food that you need, go back in the house and say, I think I'm going to paint a great work of art with the rest of my afternoon. And when you have a global government agenda saying we must control the world because starvation is coming and coal and warming is coming and it's going to result in all of this disruption, and history says that global warming actually is a time of freedom and prosperity, yeah, you got to erase that. So now a lot of people who have bought into this whole carbon Nazi agenda early on are starting to come out and say, you know, we were being lied to. IPCC was not telling us the truth about what was happening in history and science. They were pushing this agenda. And this Agenda 21 that everybody's talking about is the plan for global governance. And it's being sold to the world on the idea that if you don't let us run the entire planet, you're all going to choke to death and starve to death on your own carbon dioxide. And the problem I have with that is a global government that comes into being through lies and deception will have to be history's greatest tyranny. Merely to survive its own creation. They will not allow freedom of speech, freedom of inquiry, freedom of examination and questioning. Because otherwise people will say, wait a minute, this government was put onto our heads through a fraud called human-caused global warming, or another fraud called global financial meltdown requiring global financial bank, or the other one, the global flu pandemic, which didn't work out. A government that is imposed on the people through lies and deception can't allow what we accept as human rights today, merely to survive the fact that it did lie itself into existence. So we got to keep an eye on this whole Agenda 21 situation. The reality is, this planet can support the human population. It just takes a certain amount of work and creativity and inventiveness to make sure it's going to happen. But that's really hard work. It's a lot easier to simply go out and shower germs all over everybody. And that's what the money junkies are thinking. Oh, it's going to cost us too much to take care of all these people. Let's just kill them all off and we'll have the world all to ourselves. Not a new idea with me. Tom Clancy wrote about it in his book, Rainbow Six. Now, getting back to Fukushima, I know we had a caller earlier in the day who was talking about that. We're basically in our sixth straight day of magnitude 4 and above quakes in Fukushima. This is making everybody very, very nervous because building 4, reactor number 4, and the cooling, the spent fuel cooling pool are rated at seismic quality of 0, meaning it's going to take one more good bump, it's all going to come crashing down. They're talking about the necessity of going in and reinforcing the cooling pool because the steel supporting it is starting to sag from all of the seismic activity and the fact there's a lot more fuel rods in there than it was designed to contain. We're getting more reports now from the area that what TEPCO calls sustained cooling of the pool basically means they're pouring water in at the top, it's leaking out through into the basement, they're pumping it out of the basement back onto the top of the cooling pool. That's what they're calling a stable cooling situation. And it isn't. All it's going to take is a large leak from the basement or a failure of the pumping system or another quake just bringing the whole thing down, and we're going to have another great disaster on our hands. I believe it's the Australian version of 60 Minutes just came out with a show saying basically we will be living with the aftermath of Fukushima for centuries to come. Because safety systems were shortchanged. Money junkies said we don't need to spend the money putting the generators up on the back of a hill. And we still don't know if Stuxnet was a factor, explaining why so many of these Siemens automated controllers fail to operate the way they were designed to. Speaking of computer controllers, there is a company called RuggedCom, and they make what they call the Rugged Operating System, and it's a competing product with Siemens for controllers. It has come out, they installed a back door in all of their controllers, which cannot be deactivated. And now that it's known, people are saying it's a wide open door, for people to come in and cause mischief like Israel and the U.S. were trying to do with Iran's power station. So it's, again, reckless thinking, money junkie thinking. Yeah, we'll have the back door. Makes it easier and cheaper for us to fix the problems later on down the road. And they're not thinking about the worst case scenarios. They're not preparing for the worst case scenarios. They do whatever is the minimum required. And when the government is looking the other way, it's a recipe for disaster. And again, we saw that with the Gulf oil disaster, where the Minerals Management Service, which was getting all these gifts and perks from the oil industry itself, simply looked the other way. The blowout preventer, the manual blowout preventer on the ocean floor underneath the Deepwater Horizon had gone 4 years without its required maintenance. And, of course, the United States does not require these deep water oil drillers to use what is called an acoustic blowout preventer, which is required in all other areas of the world. It's a very expensive piece of equipment, about $500,000. And when you multiply that by the number of oil wells that are pumping in the Gulf of Mexico, it's a huge amount of money. So it's cheaper to write some campaign donations to Congress, and they say, ah, you don't need those acoustic blowout preventers. But that would have prevented the Deepwater Horizon disaster. All right, we're going to take a break here. We'll be back with the last segment of our show today after these words from our sponsors.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcasts, as well as a contest corner where we'll raffle different prizes to our listeners. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Politicians and preachers once sometimes told the truth. We didn't throw war's first stone and sacrifice our finest youth. With no video games or cell phones, a house felt like a home. Children fought and played together and sticked upon a computer alone. MacDonald had a farm, then he opened a burger joint. We've drowned in fat ever.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the last segment of our show here on Friday. And kind of an interesting story. Remember about, I think it was a week ago, the corporate media was caught up in this story about a dolphin or two that were in this California river. Oh, horror of horror. They're stranded. They're trapped. And they did this big thing about shooing the dolphins back out into the ocean, only to have the dolphins turn around and scurry right back into the river. Meaning, we want to be here, leave us alone, please. Basically, the dolphins are saying. They're saying, well, why would they want to do that? It's not salty enough, it's blah, blah, blah. There's okay, down in Peru, there was this mysterious die-off of 3,000 dolphins. And they don't know why. They haven't figured it out yet. Now, all of a sudden, same area of Peru, they found 1,200 dead pelicans. Maybe there is something in the water. And the dolphin in California was smart enough to say, I think I'm going to go upriver where the natural flow of the river is going to keep whatever it is from getting near me. And we understand that we humans require instruments to detect certain things in nature, like magnetic fields. We need compasses. Or Geiger counters to detect radiation. We know that some life forms can detect the magnetic field just because they've developed a sensitivity to it, birds in particular. So is something going on that is causing this disruption of nature? Is it the solar activity disrupting the magnetic field? I know we were having some spectacular auroras a while back here. Or is the radiation from Fukushima really that much further around the ocean's currents? We don't know, but something very, very strange is going on out there. All right, we're almost at the end of the show today. Obviously, for all of us here in the United States of America, the economic news should be paramount. We should be thinking entirely in terms of the economic news as we go into this election. 41 to 45% unemployment rate in this country. That is double what it was during the Great Depression. So we're in the Grand Depression well and truly. And as has always been the case of the United States, they're trying to get into a world war in the hope that'll fix everything. Crash of 1907, let's fix it with World War I. Crash of 1929, we'll fix it with World War II. Crash of 2008, look how hard the United States government is trying to get a major war going with everybody else on the planet that they owe money to. I'm very concerned about these indications in Israel that Netanyahu may be getting ready to roll the dice on Iran before the P5 meeting can take place and basically allow the world to say, we don't think it's a crisis anymore. So deployment of troops, Air Force exercises, and now the American media back on the bandwagon of, oh, we got to say bad things about Iran. They dress funny, and they have lousy timing on their dancing, and they have funny music over there. And it's just more of that push for a war. So going to be very interesting, very dangerous times next week. Have a good weekend. Spend time with your family. Stay safe. Drive carefully. Hug your loved ones. Please support Republic Broadcasting. Please support Ron Paul. Please support Occupy. And just kick out the agent provocateurs. They're just there to cause trouble. Aloha, America.